Lord, you are good and your mercy endures forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you.
Welcome to Crossway Today. Please join us as we worship God and hear His word.
Don't we?
Yep.
Isn't it a privilege for us to worship Him, to be in His presence this morning, church? You are good to us, and that your mercy and your love for us endures forever. this morning as we sing to you, I pray that our offering would be acceptable and pleasing to you, that it would make you smile, that it would give you a warmth and a tenderness in your heart as your children sing their praises to you. Sing how gracious, relentless.
Good evening, Crossway. How are you going? Hey, just before we launch into the message tonight, I'm really conscious that there's a few people here tonight who have been away on a missions trip. Would you stand if that's you? Because I know there's a few of you. Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Can we give those guys a round, really great round of applause? Because, you know, sometimes when these guys come back, stay standing because we want to pray for you, okay? Sometimes when people come back from a family missions trip, you get a bit of culture shock and all that sort of stuff happening, but it's really good for us to receive them back because they've been doing some stuff overseas, working with kids, particularly in a school, in a centre over in Thailand. And so what I'd love to do for these guys is just pause and pray for them right now. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these guys who have been on this missions experience over these past couple of weeks. And Father, we pray as their family. Father, we pray for them, we lift them before your throne of grace. And God, we ask that you would continue the great work that you began in them overseas as they reintegrate into life back here in Melbourne. And Father, we pray that they would be blessed because of what you have done in them, around them and through them, and know that we welcome them back with open arms. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take your seats? It's awesome. Awesome to have you back. Well, tonight we get to conclude our series on Stand Your Ground, No Man's Land. So we've been looking at Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, and tonight we land in chapter 6. And what we're going to explore together is how we can stand our ground when we feel like we're in a place where we're stuck, we're under attack, or maybe when conflict comes our way. And we've just not been able to enter into what we feel like God would have us enter into. You see, there are times in our lives, in all of our lives, maybe when we feel conflicted or fearful or even anxious about something that's going on in our lives. And I have to say that this has been one of the hardest messages to prepare because I feel like I'm preaching to me. And so if the raw emotion comes out tonight, please excuse me because it's something I'm dealing with as well. And so I know that this is going to be pertinent to many of you. But you know, sometimes instead of taking our stand and standing our ground where we know we're supposed to, we stay in a place where our potential is unrealized, our future is left hanging in the balance. And you know what? That is exactly where the enemy of our soul wants us. Fearful, anxious, stuck, doubt-filled, lacking vision, confused, unclear about where we're headed, and it's a place of fear and uncertainty. You know, When I was 19 years old, I had left school. So I left school after doing VCE, or well, it was called HSE back then. Yes, I'm old, okay. And so anyway, so at 18, finished year 12, and then went into a job at the bank, and then started a Bachelor of Business at night school. And for that next 18 months, I worked full-time and studied part-time doing this Bachelor of Business, which I absolutely hated. But you know, it came to a time in my life where I was at this crossroads. After leaving school and, you know, going into the bank and starting this degree, and I suddenly realized this is not me at all. This is not what I'm meant to do with my life. But at the same time, I had pressure from my family, particularly at that point in time, my mum and dad, who didn't want me to give up on university. In fact, my dad said to me, I know that if you don't continue with this degree, you'll never go back to university. Well, obviously I did, and I went to Bible college and all that sort of stuff. But at that point in time, I was at this crossroads, and I felt like there was something that I was meant to step into, but I was full of fear. I was anxious about my future. I did not know where to turn. And I remember sitting out in one of the paddocks on my mum and dad's farm with Leanne beside me at that point in time and just bawling my eyes out because I didn't know what the future held. And you know what? That was exactly where the enemy wanted me. Because at that point in time, I felt like I was at a crossroads in my life. I could have gone that way and I could have gone that way, or I could have just shrunk back and stayed and dwelt in a place of uncertainty. You see, the Bible says these words, that God has a plan to give us a hope and a future. Yes, for each one of us, God has a plan. But you know, the enemy also has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for your life and for my life, not to see us enter into the future and the hope and the destiny that God has for us. He has a plan to bring us down. In fact, the Bible talks about the enemy of our souls in this way. It says, "Be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls round like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. In fact, another version says, looking for who he may devour. It's not a very nice picture, is it? That this enemy of ours prowls around looking for someone who he could devour. And you know what? He's going to use absolutely everything at his disposal to do that. And what we have to understand is that the enemy of our souls has three plans for our lives. In John 10:10, the Bible says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is, the enemy of our souls wants to steal away our potential. He wants to steal away the clarity of our vision. He wants to get into your minds and steal away the truth of who God has created you to be, of who God has designed you to be, of who God has destined you to be. And he wants to kill off any hope you may have for a future with him. See, he wants to take away anything that might lead you to walk into your destiny with God. And so one of the things that he wants to do is he wants to attack you right at your very core. He wants to attack you at your heart. And he wants to try and get rid of that belief in God. He wants to try and steal away any hope that you might have. And he wants to sow doubt into your mind where you would say that that hope and that future that God has sown in there has been killed off. But then he also wants to destroy your dreams. He wants to destroy your hopes for your future. He wants to destroy relationships. He basically wants to destroy anything that has anything to do with any part of your future. That is the enemy's plan for you. So here's the question. How do you stand firm when all of that is going on around you? When we have an enemy of our souls who wants to bring you down, who wants to bring me down, who wants to steal from you, kill you and your hope, and destroy any hope for the future that you have. How do you stand firm in the midst of all that? How do we not waver? How do we not drift off course? How do we stick to the plan that God has for us and for our lives? Well, tonight I want to explore Ephesians chapter 6. And so if you have a device, please turn there. But it's going to be up on the screens for you as well. And so, here we go. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, Ephesians 6:10 says. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. Paul says, be strong in the Lord, or strengthen yourselves in the Lord, or even better, find your strength for this battle that we're engaging in against the enemy, because it's going to be a battle. Find that strength not in yourselves, not in, you know, your own willpower or your own motivation or in your support network or in your friendship group or in those people who surround you in everyday life. No. He says, find your strength in the Lord. And so when it comes to taking a stand against the enemy and his schemes and engaging in this battle, when it comes to us being able to stand firm and come through this battle, we need more than what we can get from this world. We need what only God can give us. We need His strength. We need His power. We need His defenses. And most of all, we need His weapons. You see, Paul says these words: "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." See, we will all have a battle. We will all have a struggle. We will all be engaged in a battle at some time in our lives. See, our lives are not always going to be smooth sailing. And therefore, Paul says, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, because it will come, the Bible says there is a day coming for each one of us where the enemy's schemes are going to plot against each one of us. And what we need to know right at that point in time is we are not battling against people. We are not battling against flesh and blood. We are battling against principalities and powers that are not of this world. Now, please hear me. I don't mean for us to go looking for a demon under every rock, okay? You know, you're driving along and your car breaks down. Oh, it's the devil. Okay? Or, oh, I'm walking along, I stubbed my toe on the ground. Oh, I got a sore toe. Oh, it's the devil. Or maybe my friends don't like me. Oh, it's the devil. No, it's not. Most likely, it's not the devil at all. You just didn't get your car serviced when it was supposed to be serviced. Or the fact is, you stubbed your toe. That's not the devil. You just walked along and you stubbed your toe. Maybe you shouldn't wear thongs or bare feet all the time. But sometimes, there are times in our lives when the devil does come against us. You know, it was about 12 months ago when I was actually asleep at night in my bed, and I was actually preaching here the next morning. And I woke up about 2:30 in the morning with my heart absolutely pounding like this in my chest. And as I lay in bed, I suddenly realized I can't move. I could not move to save my life. And then I started to open my eyes and I realized I couldn't even get anything out of my mouth. I was short of breath. It was like, am I having a heart attack or something? And I felt the heaviness of this presence in my bedroom, or in our bedroom. And all I could do was muster up these words: "In the name of Jesus, let me go." And immediately, that presence left our room, and my heart calmed down, and I could breathe freely again. You see, the enemy of our souls is real. He is real, and he is waging a spiritual war against us, and there is a day when you will be impacted by him, in whatever way, shape, or form. But the fact of the matter is that we need to know how to stand firm when that time comes. Because the Bible is really, really clear about how we can do this. See, in verse 13, it says, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then." See, this is not a passive passage of Scripture. This is an active passage of Scripture. This is instruction to you and to me about how we're to stand and stand firm so that we can stand when the day of evil comes. This is an active passage of Scripture. Twice Paul has already said, put on the full armor of God. Put on. It's an active thing. We need to do this. We need to take the initiative and do this. But we're not to be wavered. We're not to be indecisive about this. We're not to be wandering aimlessly. And so the thing is, how? How are we supposed to do this? Well, here's the thing. And these come straight out of this particular passage. Here's the first one. If you're taking notes, these are the things you want to write down. The first thing you want to do is surround yourself with truth. You know, verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6 says, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. A belt surrounds you. This whole idea that we have a belt of truth surrounding us is this whole idea of surrounding us with truth. The truth of who you are. The truth of who God sees you to be. The truth of who you see God to be. This whole foundation of who you believe and what you believe is so important for when the day of evil comes. See, nothing you can do or have done can separate you from the love of Christ. The Bible says that. And so is that what you surround yourself with? Is that the sort of truth that you speak into you? But then there's the truth of who Jesus is. The fact that, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God? Do you believe that in His name there is power? Do you believe that in His name there is authority? Because I can tell you, when I was stuck in my bed that night, all I could do was call on that name of Jesus. Because it's in His name, no other name, is there power over the enemy. No other name is there power that you can defeat the enemy with. See, you can call on the name of Jesus if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that He is the King of Kings, and He is the Lord of Lords, and you've declared that over your life, then you can call on that name. And now, come on, give me an amen or something. Because I can tell you that the power that is in the name of Jesus is real. And nothing can stand in the way of that name. See, the enemy will tell you, oh, no, don't be sold into believing that He's the Son of God. He was just a good religious teacher. He was just a prophet. Do you really believe that He's the Son of God? No, you don't need to believe that. That's what the enemy will try and sell you. See, he'll try and steal away the truth from you. But to be able to stand firm, we have to believe in the truth. And so what do you believe? Well, here's the second one. Protect your heart. With the breastplate of righteousness in place. You know what a breastplate does? You know, if you were dressing up in a suit of armor, you have this big breastplate that goes across here. You know what it does? It protects your heart. And you know, that's exactly what we need. We need to have our hearts protected because our heart is the very core of who we are. And this is the exact place that the enemy is going to try and bring you down. See, he's going to try and sell you some lies about yourself, about God. And it's right here that needs to be protected. If we don't keep our heart protected, then we are open and available to be destroyed by the enemy. See, if you don't protect your heart, he will steal things away from you. He'll steal your relationships. He'll steal your hope for the future. He'll destroy all those hopes and dreams that you have. And so can I say, if you're in a relationship, married couples, okay? Married couples, please keep your hearts towards each other pure. Think the best of each other. Love each other. Settle arguments quickly. Work towards reconciliation with each other all of the time and put each other first. And don't let the enemy get a foothold in your relationship. Friends, if you feel like something's coming between you, talk it through. Dialogue the issue. Again, don't let anger and frustration or even conflict fester under the surface. And please don't let gossip ever get in the way of your relationships. Because it's those sorts of things that the enemy is going to use to try and steal away what is in your heart. Here's the next one. Be ready. Be ready for it. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 6:15, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. See, be ready. Be alert. Be on guard. Expect this day of evil to come. I wonder, do you know where the enemy would attack you? Like, do you know your weaknesses? Do you know your character flaws? Do you know where you're liable for attack? See, some of us, maybe relationships are our weak point. We rely so heavily on our relationships with people that it's there he's going to attack us. You know, maybe you rely so heavily on that relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, and so maybe you let your boundaries slip. You know it's right there that he's going to bring you down? You know it's right there that he can expose the weakness that you have? Or maybe it's, you know, you're a great storyteller, but you know, you just embellish those stories just a little bit much. And so honesty and integrity becomes your weakness. And you know, the enemy would love to exploit that. We need to know our weaknesses and admit them to each other so that we can hold each other accountable, so that we are ready for the day when he will try and attack us. We need to have faith in Jesus. You know, verse 16 says, take up the shield of faith. We heard from BK last week, Brenton Colleen, and he talked about it's not what we are doing or what we can do to earn our way into the kingdom of heaven or to earn our way into that place of salvation and right relationship with Jesus. It's about what he has done for us. And we need to have faith in Jesus, the only one who can save us from our sins, who can forgive us for our past and set us on a course to head us into our future. But you know, there's one particular area of spiritual significance that demonstrates your faith in Jesus. And here at Crossway, we talk about it a lot. But sometimes we don't walk into that particular thing the way that we should when we know we should. And that is that maybe some of us have never, ever been baptized. Do not underestimate the spiritual significance that comes through the waters of baptism. Because that is where you sign a covenant. It's where you sign your life on the bottom line for Jesus. And it's when you can say to the enemy, when he comes against you, you have no hold over me because I am a baptized believer in Jesus. Not, oh, I believe in Jesus. Because he'll go, yeah, but you've never been baptized. Right there, right back at you. Why haven't you been baptized? Oh, it's just not the right time. Do not underestimate the spiritual significance of the act of baptism. Here's the fifth one. Protect your mind. Verse 17 says, take the helmet of salvation. And I want to give you a picture of a helmet of salvation and what a helmet can do from this guy. You know, it's really interesting when you watch the X-Men movies. Magneto used this helmet to keep thoughts out of his head. And you know, that's exactly what we need to do. The helmet of salvation reassures us of whose we are, who we belong to, And the fact that Jesus is our King, Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings over our lives. And so that helmet of salvation reassures us of our destiny in Jesus. And what we need to do is put that on so it keeps the thoughts, or those thoughts that might enter our minds from the enemy, out of our heads. We need to keep those thoughts out of our heads. Because you know what the enemy will say to you? He'll say, "Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you're not able to do that. Oh, you could never do that. Oh, you're not pretty enough. Oh, you're not educated enough. Oh, you weren't brought up in the right family to be able to do that." Hear the lies? And let me ask you, have you ever heard those things in here? Because I tell you, I have. I have numbers of times. "You could never do that." That helmet of salvation is there to keep those things out. You know, Pastor Heather Packett spoke a message at our morning congregations a couple of weeks ago. Listen to that message online, because one of the enemy's primary tools is intimidation and accusation. And he will try and intimidate you and accuse you to stop you doing what God has for you. Here's number six. Hold the word of God and know the word of God. You know, verse 17 says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." See, it's not enough to just hold it. You need to know it. You need to know what's in it, whether it's on your phone or in a paper-bound book. Know what's in it. When Jesus went out into the desert and was tempted by the enemy, what did he do to Satan? He quoted scripture back at him to overcome the ploys of the enemy. And that's what we need to be able to do. So you can say, "No one can separate me from the love of Christ. Whoever is for, if God is for me, who can be against me?" So you can quote that sort of thing when the enemy comes against you. But here's the last one. You need to use your hotline for help. Verse 18 says, "Pray in the Spirit in all occasions." Well, what on earth is that? Let me tell you what it's not. Praying in the Spirit is not the gift of speaking in tongues. The gift of speaking in tongues comes from heaven, down through you, out through someone's mouth, and is always accompanied by interpretation. That's the gift of speaking in tongues. That is not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about is praying in the Spirit. That is you praying in a tongue that you don't understand, that your friends don't understand, and most of all, that the enemy of your souls don't understand. And it's your spirit praying upwards to God's Spirit so that he can understand the cry of your soul. Now, this is the major weapon in a Christian's arsenal that we underestimate so profoundly. Because some of us, we do pray in tongues, we do pray in the Spirit, but some of us don't. And can I encourage you, if you don't, tonight is the opportunity for you to have someone to pray for you, to release that over your life, or for you just to ask God for it. You know, I will never forget the time when I was out in the garden at my house and I'm gardening away, and this particular phrase came into my mind. And it was a phrase I could not make sense of. I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand the words that were maybe coming into my mind, but I've gone, "Wow, where did they come from?" But I had been asking God for him to fill me with his Spirit from my head to my toe and baptize me in his Holy Spirit, and to release that whole idea of praying in the Spirit into my life so that I could be able to communicate whatever is going on in the pit of my stomach right to God without anyone understanding. And then the next day, Leanne and I went to a prophetic rally at our old church, and there was this guy by the name of Greg Burson there, and he said, you know, at the end of his message, come down the front, you know, if you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you want to, begin to pray in tongues. I said, oh, I'd obviously been seeking that, so I moved my way to the front. And, you know, when I was down there, nothing really amazing happened for a few minutes. But as I stood there, he said, there was another guy who was actually kneeling down on the ground, and he said to me, he said, can you just stretch out your hand and pray over this guy? I go, oh, sure, yeah, I can pray. Sure. So I stretch out my hand over this particular guy, and you know what starts to happen? Stuff started to come out of my mouth that I did not understand. And this language started to percolate up and out of my mouth as I stretched out my hand in faith over this particular young man. For me, that was when that praying in the Spirit started to take shape. And so sometimes as I'm praying for people now, I'll walk up to them and I'll just start to pray under my breath. And I pray in a language that I don't understand and the enemy doesn't understand or the person standing in front of me doesn't understand. But I know that my spirit is talking directly to God's spirit. See, it's a powerful tool. It's a powerful weapon in our arsenal. And we should never underestimate it. You know, someone once explained it to me as like, you know, when you watch those movies of the Cold War that took place in the 60s and 70s and between the US and Russia. And on the president's desk, there was always this phone, right? Whether it was a red phone or whatever it was. But it was like a secure line that the president could pick up at any point in time and ring the Kremlin. And he could talk securely to the president of Russia, or the USSR it was in that point in time. And he could pick up that phone and just talk to him openly and honestly without any interruption and without anyone trying to listen into that conversation. That is exactly what praying in the Spirit is. Now, I don't know where each of you are up to in this. Maybe you're in a struggle. Maybe you're in a battle right now. Maybe it is that you've been trying to do all of this on your own. Maybe it is that you've given up on the hopes and dreams that you've had because the enemy has stolen them away from you. Maybe you've been tossed and turned and pushed from pillar to post by the enemy. And tonight, you say, you know what? I need to take a stand. You don't have to be left in no man's land. You can move forward. You see, sometimes we can feel stuck and we can feel oppressed. And we can give in because we're not prepared for the battle. And so today I have to ask you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Maybe it is that you've given up. How equipped do you feel for the war or the battle that's waging around you? Maybe it is today that you actually realize that you've become quite complacent about where you are or about what's been going on around you. Maybe tonight you need to take a stand so that during this week and the weeks to come and the months to come, you will be able to stand in the heat of the battle that wages around you. And so tonight, what I want you to do is to allow the Prince of Peace to minister to your heart in these moments. As these guys sing over us, let the Prince of Peace do an inner work in us and allow him to help us to take a stand against the enemy.
You love.
Tonight in this place, where your people bow our heads before you. And God, you know each one of our circumstance. You know where we struggle. You know, Lord God, the battle that rages around us. You know those of us who have been trying to do this in our own strength, with our own willpower, because we didn't know how to fight any other way. God, you know the feelings that have been going on inside of us, the thoughts that have been going on in our heads. And Father, right now we bring them to you. Lay them at your feet, O God. And we choose in this moment to take a stand against the enemy, the one who sets out against us to steal, kill, and destroy. And in Jesus' name right now, we ask for your help in our lives, that you would come, that you would work within us. And right now, maybe that's you. You know you need to take a stand tonight against whatever has been going on in your life. Then I'm going to ask you to do that right now. If that's you, you know that you need to take a stand against whatever, for whatever reason. Not for me, but for our incredible God. You just stand to your feet right now. You know you need to do this. You just stand right now. Yep. All over this auditorium. Yep. Awesome. Awesome. To stand to your feet, whatever it is, whatever that stand is you need to take. I'm here too. Yep, good on you. Father, you see each one of us as we stand and still stand. Lord God, you know what's going on in our lives, and we choose to take our stand against the enemy's ploys. We choose to take a stand for you. We choose to take a stand for your purposes and for your plans in our lives. And Father, in Jesus' name, we pray that you would help us in each one of these things. Maybe it is that we need that helmet, we need that shield, we need our hearts protected. Lord God, whatever it is, would you do that in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amazing name.
Your love, it leads me into freedom. You left the heavens to redeem my soul. shaken, I won't be moved. I will follow you and leave the world behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be moved. I will follow you and leave the world behind. I won't be shaken, I won't be moved. I will follow you.
About Crossway, visit us on the web at crossway.org.au.